Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of my podcast. We have a very special guest today joining all the way from Nashville, Tennessee. We got Kirsty Krause joining the podcast. Hi, Kirsty.
Hello, good morning. Well, good morning where I'm at.
Right, it's evening here in the Philippines.
It's awesome to be on today. Thank you for having me.
So how is your morning so far?
Good. I have in my hand right now some raspberry almond coffee from Door County, Wisconsin, and I swear by it. It's the best, and just that little like sweet flavor to it. I love it. It's my kryptonite.
Right. I've been seeing your Instagram, and you. I know that you traveled a little bit, like very recently, and then. You performed on a live show. Can you tell me about that?
Oh yeah, that was so much fun. In hindsight, like on paper, it looks so awesome to do a big hometown show the same week you're releasing your record digitally. And because then you're around a bunch of humans that just have supported you since day one. And I used to live in Wisconsin. I used to tour in Wisconsin. That's where I'm from. So it was so much fun, but it was also kind of more hectic because I was like preparing with a full band for the show and also working on all the promo and the graphics and all the, you know, the kind of our plan to put it out on social media. So I was like, oh, both things at once, but I'm really glad I did it that way. And I think I always envisioned to do it that way, to put out the record with full band performance. And every Memorial Day weekend, I go up to Wisconsin and play the world's largest Bratfest. And that is what I did on Saturday at 5 p.m., middle of the festival grounds. And there was thousands of people there.
Right. So Kirsty, I got to know you from this platform, the Clubhouse, like this audio room platform. And I think you were in a couple of rooms of Jack McMahon, right? McMahon Says the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's how I got to know you. And then I check out your music. That's how we got connected. It's really funny how that sort of thing happened, right?
So cool. How cool is that? I think my friend Country Chats with Dom over in the UK is the one who told me about Clubhouse originally. And then Jeff McMahon is very active on Clubhouse, or he was, and was doing a lot of things. And I was like, okay, well, I got to check out this platform. And I'm glad I did, because now I got to meet people like you all the way in the Philippines, which is awesome.
Yeah. Did you ever knew that people in the Philippines were listening to country?
You know, I have had conversations. I know an artist in Germany, and he said he gets played in the Philippines all the time. And he does country music out of Germany. So I've slowly started connecting with people just across the big pond, is what I like to call it, across the big pond, but the Atlantic Ocean. But so it's just been... it's been amazing just to uncover that people do listen to country over there, and there, you know, there's a craving for it. And I love that.
Right. So we are now in 2022, you know, the last 2 years, which we really want to forget about, but I really want to ask you, how was the last 2 years for you?
The last 2 years has been a whirlwind, as far as I feel like I've only... every year, as I learn more things, pick up more steam. And every time I release music, I feel like my capacity is greater on what I can handle. And so I can take on more every time. And also I have more knowledge about, okay, now I got to put out this PR email. And now I got to, you know, like different things. So I feel like as a business running under Krause House of Entertainment, I am able to take on more every time I do a release. And I've been able to travel to different states and do shows that I kind of keep checking off the bucket list. So I'd never let something like a pandemic bring me down. If anything, instead of booking emails, I went and started focusing on introducing myself over to the UK and Australia and the Philippines and overseas, and was like, hey, you know, I can't book shows right now, so let me email introductions to people and just say, I'm an artist, I'm releasing singles. If you like it, you should play it on your station. And that fared pretty well because there was a ton of people that I had never even met or even thought of starting to do promotion over there. So I'm really glad, like, that's kind of like the silver lining for me.
Right. So even me, I feel that although pandemic was tragic, there were a lot of bad things for happened to a lot of people, but I saw a lot of opportunities out of the pandemic. Even this podcast, I started during the pandemic. So, you know,
okay.
So because I couldn't go to live shows anymore, so I thought, you know, maybe I should do something. So I started talking to friends. Then it became, along the way, you know, a lot of artists joined, and then it became a podcast. So I'm happy that now, like, that came out of those, you know, that 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, this is an example right here that has come out of it. And that's amazing. And I do have to say, side note, your beard is on point. Like, it is awesome. I love it. Right. I love it. I just had to let you know that. But
yeah, actually the beard is also because of the pandemic, because I stopped shaving when
there you
the
go.
And then when everything was like settling, I thought I was too, like, you know, I didn't want to shave it anymore because I fell in love with the beard already. So
yeah.
You know.
Well, I love it. It's awesome. It's definitely right. Awesome.
So Kirsty, tell me a little bit about your childhood and what's your earliest memory of music?
Well, my childhood, I loved my childhood. I grew up in a neighborhood where there was a bunch of kids my age, and we would run around and play outside and do the easy bake oven and make fake ice cream with snow and ride around in our big wheels. That was really fun. And I grew up close to school, the school that I went to, the elementary school. So we just walked to school. But for music, I'm told, like, I have video footage of this, that I got up on stage when I was 4. And that was the first time I was on, like, a real stage. My uncle's band played Achy Breaky Heart, and then they took a break. And I jumped up on stage and I was like, go on to my heart. And I was like, however I sang at 4, you know, and I just kept repeating 2 lines over and over because that's all I heard. And I don't physically remember that, but they said that they let me do it until they thought it was not cute anymore. Then they pulled me off stage. But my first solo was when I was 5 for We Has Jazz. And I do remember that. I remember the lyrics still, like the whole thing. So it was with the whole school together. And I remember I had this little, like, teal t-shirt on, and it says We Has Jazz on the front. And I had a solo and I had to wear sunglasses. And I was like, and really getting into it because it was supposed to be like a blues song. And I'm 5 singing a blues song. And it's about how I can't babysit my little sister anymore because they don't trust me or something. I don't know. It was, but I do remember that because I remember thinking, like, this is my moment, you know?
Right. So when you were, like, discovering music, what were the early music that you started listening, and what are your, like, favorite music?
Oh, I love this question. Music is literally everything to me. So when I first started, it was Amy Grant, and it was Gloria Estefan, and it was Sheryl Crow. And those women were the first that I really gravitated towards. And then it was like Elton John and Billy Joel. I remember that group being like, we would dance in the living room and we would help my mom clean on Saturdays, and she would just be playing albums. Like, she'd be playing CDs actually. And we would just be dancing around. And for me, music was always a fun experience to dance to. So I think that's when I fell in love really with the timings that I kind of put in my music, sometimes the phrasing, and also bass, the bass lines. and making songs really funky. And I think that's why I intentionally chose to put out Delusional first to the world, because I wanted to make a stamp to say, like, hey, music can be really fun, and I'm want to be that artist that is constantly like, what is she gonna put out next?
Right. When you talk about bass lines and Delusional, I really love the bass line of that song.
And even like the bass lines and Gotta Do are pretty heavy. And then now my new song off the Yes You Can record, Moving In, has like this bass moment. I mean, it's, yeah, we get into it.
Right, right. So at what stage does you really know that you want to do music and you want to do, you know, how does that happen? Like, when did you decide that, okay, I want to become a musician, I want to become a singer?
Okay, well, I was one of those, I mean, I think a lot of people in Nashville have the similar story, but at 2 years old, I was jumping up on picnic tables. I mean, by six, I was doing plays. And when I was 6 years old, it said, when I grow up, and then I had to finish the sentence about what you want to be when you grow up. And I put a S-I-N-G-R. So I couldn't spell, but right. And then I drew like a picture up top of somebody singing. And I really, like, I always loved, my mom would put on kids sing-alongs, like the VHS tapes. She put on Barney, and I would be like glued to it. And I would know all the words. And it didn't really click to her until my kindergarten music teacher had a conversation with her and was like, okay, your daughter, like, really into music, and she like stays on pitch, and she's got this charisma thing. And I guess she sat her down and had this whole conversation with her. And so my mom was like, what do we do with her? I don't know. And so then I started doing plays and dance and piano, like, right, all by the age of six, seven. So it was really enjoyable childhood, because I was a part of all kinds of things that had music involved. And I started writing songs when I was eight, and then started writing songs with people when I was 12, and then coming to Nashville to write when I was 15. So writing and performing and just the creation of music and how I hear it has always just been part of me, I think.
Right. So coming to Nashville, because I mean, Nashville is like magic, right? Like, the way I hear it for country music, like, that's the place to be. So
yes,
when you arrive in Nashville for that, how was the experience? Like, what did you felt?
I remember coming and being like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, because the energy of the city. And I talk about this in my lyrics of Something New, which is track number three. Mm. Track number four. But it's like the rhythm of the city and the people all around me move into their own beat. It gives me harmony as I live my melody, and I can be whatever I want to be. So it really, you feel this energy of everybody like going for it and trying their best. And you're like collaborating and figuring out, okay, how'd you do that? And like, people are constantly messaging me too, like, how did you make that one graphic? Like, you know, simple questions. But I remember being like, this is so cool, because if I want to get a video done or anything around the music stuff, I can get it done like that, because people, like, that is their full-time jobs. So they're not dragging their feet. It's not like you're pulling teeth to try to get something done. It's like, okay, cool. Yeah, let's finish your song right here. Or like, or when can you meet again? Okay, in a couple of days, like, let's finish it. You know, like, it's a priority for them. So it's like the city where music is like a priority for everybody, right, which is, and like, I'm sure you can only imagine from there, but I really love being able to live in Nashville just for the writing. I mean, I was on a Zoom yesterday. I write about 2 to 3 times a week. And I think that's the best part. And it was my first write with a guy named Mason Douglas. And he's written a lot of songs, and he's had a lot of cuts, and it was so cool to be able to like finally meet with him and sit down and be able to write.
Right. So what I notice about Kirsty is like you do so many things, right? You do hosting, you write songs for others, you record your own songs, and how do you do all this? Where does the energy and the drive comes from?
I think a lot of people, I was kind of talking about this the other day because I'm a very outgoing person, so people feel my energy. I'm not one of those that like, oh, I need to chill and recharge and watch Netflix. Like I like being out in public and seeing people, and that's like a form of recharging for me. Like it lifts me up. So that helps as well. But yeah, every now and then, I try to get my like 7.5 hours of sleep, and then I'll wake up and I do like meditation. I have my coffee, answer messages, and like do some yoga. Like, so I do take like the morning time. A lot of times I take for myself, and about like 1.5 hours, 2 hours to kind of do whatever is in the morning routine, like stuff like that.
Right. So I think what you said is like, I mean, taking time for yourself is also very important, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You have to be balanced here in order to be able to give so much. So I think it's very important. Like I definitely can tell if it's been 5 days in a row and I haven't had my morning routine or like the time for myself, I can tell. Like I will get a little testy and I'll be like, man, maybe I just need to go for a run or a walk or do some yoga or just like take alone time for yourself. I think that's really important.
So, Kirsty, I know that you actually had sort of a band as well called Thirsty Jones.
Yes.
Tell me about Thirsty Jones.
The name came about because thirsty rhymes with Kirsty. And
Right.
so we came up, I was like, all right, I told the radio station about this band, and we hadn't even met yet. But I was like super excited, and I was talking up this band. And then the radio station in my hometown was like, okay, cool. Do you guys want to play the Taste of Madison? And I was like, yes. And they're like, okay, what's your band name? And I was like, let me get back to you on that. And so I was like, how long do I have? And they said 3 days. So I was like, I know thirsty's got to be in the title. And then I ended up calling up an old coworker, and I was like, I need your help. I need something to go with thirsty. And I was like, he's like, well, what do you want it to mean? And I was like, well, something like our band family last name. And so he said Thirsty Johnson, he said Thirsty Smith, and then he said Thirsty Jones. And I was like, Jones is cool because it's like George Jones, it's like country, and Thirsty rhymes with my name and is also representing Wisconsin really well because people like to drink and to have a lot of beer. And so I was like, that's it. That's it. I didn't have a bad feeling. So that became the name. And I am still best friends with the guitar player that stood by my side we've known each other now for over 10 years, but we played together for 6 years. And I just saw him like yesterday, the day before. He was restringing my guitar for me. But and that was an excuse for us to just like catch up, not at a show. But Thirsty Jones was so much fun. We really leaned into the blues and the rock and the funk music, and I covered a lot of that stuff. And I found that was really like the music that I loved, and I felt good. And the Madison, Wisconsin area celebrates lots of funk and jam bands, and so it was really cool to be able to have the space to lean into that. And then when I sang country songs, a lot it was my songs. So it was a cool mix, and we had a lot of fun. The show was a lot of funny moments, and we did gimmicky, like, moments, and we would do blues songs. And I'd be like, shh. We bring it down, and then Jacob, the guitar player, would come up front, and he would just like be chilling. And so we were definitely all about the live show.
Have you ever recorded any songs as Thirsty Jones?
We did. There is something out there on like maybe Reverb Nation. of stuff we recorded. A song, there was one song that was called Warning Label, and it was essentially warning men about me for the lack of better description. But it was like, maybe I should come with a warning label. It's so sassy. And then we recorded a song called Ride to Remember, which was a memorial song, and just about how it feels being on a motorcycle and just like letting it, just letting your hair down and being out in the 60 miles an hour in the breeze. And it was a memorial to a firefighter that had passed away in a nearby town. And then a song called Tonight's the Night. And that's about just getting down with your girls out at a honky tonk. Right. And tonight's the night that we're going to have some fun. So the lyrics are funny. I look back on them, you know, and but they're out there somewhere. I don't think I've pulled them down quite yet.
Right. So one of the really fun songs that I like from you is you did a Jolene with, I don't know whether it's RIP or RIP.
RIP. Yeah. RIP,
right?
Yeah.
So I listened to that even today. I was just walking and I was listening to that song, and I really love that version.
Thank you. You and my aunt's always said that. She's like, I really think that's cool how you guys took a spin on a Dolly song. And of course, that was the whole reason why I was thinking about whether I should do it or not, because I was like, Dolly is worshipped in Nashville. She is the queen. We all right. talk about Dolly. And so I was like, oh my gosh, do I mess with it? You know, do I say yes and mess with the Dolly song? I mean, is that going to be bad or good? And I had him send me the lyrics, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with me on this one and go with your gut always. And like, I believe in the message that he's saying, and I think it's going to be really cool.
Did you know that Dolly Parton wrote Jolene and I Will Always Love You on the same day?
No.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's a big day. I think I did hear that, but I didn't know it was those two songs. That's amazing. To be any part of her talent would be amazing. I mean, she is an icon for women of country, and now she's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and it's crazy. So I just got to perform that song last Friday with RIP on the grand stage at this world's largest prop fest, and we finally got to perform it together after 2 years. So it was really, really fun to be able to do that and do the video. There's a video on YouTube.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was really fun. And I'm like, you know, angry, like moving out because I'm mad at him because he's like, he's been with other women. And yeah, it's a really fun video.
Right. And I really love how Dolly Parton, you know, how she reacted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nomination, right? She was so humble.
Me too. I was like, oh my God, I didn't think I got on the phone, and I was like calling people and be like, did you see that? Like, I was in shock, but totally respect her, and really whatever her decision, I understand where she was coming from. She just was coming from a very humble place, and that's where she always has. And I think that's really important, is to allow people change when the light shines brighter on them. But it's important to stay to your roots and just who you are, because we're all people.
Right. So you released your full length album May 27, right?
Yes,
you can, right?
Yes.
So how is the response, Kirsty, to the album?
It has been awesome to see people's messaging me and telling me what their favorite songs are. And like, it seems like on Apple Music right now, the leading contenders are the ones that weren't out. So there's 6 songs that weren't released yet and 5 singles that were released. Better and Just One More and Moving In. And then Silver is still starred on Apple Music. So I don't know. It's interesting to kind of see like what people are gravitating towards now that it's out.
Right. When I was listening to like moving in, I was like, it felt, are you really that happy to move in? Like, in?
I know, to carry boxes and go, right. Like, when you're not the one carrying them all. No, I'm just kidding. They, you know, we were going to do a music video for that song. It's a very fun song about moving in. And at the time I was moving to Nashville. So I was really excited, whether I had to carry 500 carloads. Like I was all about moving to Nashville at the time, and moving in with, at the time, my boyfriend was my producer, and we together worked long, long hours on this. And it was such an exciting time, so much creativity flow. The room that we, the EMC2 Records, was in the basement. There's a big room, which I'll be sharing pictures of. But it was really fun to be able to start demoing out the songs. And we had been long distance for 9 months. So back and forth, and him coming to Wisconsin to perform and me traveling to Nashville. And so, yeah, it was a really fun time. And like, give me the mirror when you're brushing our teeth, when we're brushing our teeth, is that's real. That's definitely a real line. I want my space. I want my sink. Let me brush my teeth.
Right. You know, my favorite song out of your album, I know it's not a new one, but Bird. That's my favorite song.
Bird? Yes. Right. Bird. I have t-shirts for that song. It's called You Don't Deserve My Bird. But really, I wrote that song about a human interaction, and they were being not treating me nicely. And instead of being like mean back, I was just like, grit my teeth and bear it and smiled at them, and later went home and wrote a song about it. And then a year later, after I wrote that song, I went up on their stage and got to perform. And so I performed that song, but I didn't tell them it was about them.
Okay.
So it was just my moment.
Right. So, Kirsty, what are your like favorite performances? And also tell me about your fans, Thirsties, right? You call them Thirsties.
Yes. Okay. The Thirsties are like OGs. I have a Facebook group and like you can join it. It's called Thirsties Kirsties Kirsties Thirsties. I'm just dyslexic this morning. And on Facebook, sometimes now it's very hard to get notifications on everything or see everything on your home screen. So if you join the Facebook group, then you can see like what's going on. And so there's somewhere over 500, I mean, which is crazy, on this Facebook group. And they, because of Thirsty Jones, that's where that came about. Right. They started calling themselves the Thirsties. And I was like, that kind of works. Cause it's like you're the Kirsty's Thirsty. So that's how it happened. They just started calling it that way. And I was like, well, that works. I mean, that's different. And I feel like they're, you know, there's the Bleeber, what was it? Bleebers for Justin Bieber.
Right.
And yeah, so that's been really fun. And people who have come out and to shows and have certain t-shirts, that's been really awesome to see their OG t-shirts, is what I call them, their OGs. But yeah, what was the other part?
Yeah, so I was asking, what are your like favorite performances so far?
Oh gosh. I love outdoor stuff. As much as I love to be outdoors in nice weather performing, when you ask me that, theaters has a whole nother level. I feel that that my last performance at a theater, I will be at a theater later today. And so I gotta take it easy on the singing, but the last performance at a theater. Oh, it's getting the best of me. We roll through. We always roll through.
Yeah.
So theaters in general have a whole nother element to them. And I went up to this theater in Wisconsin Dells, again in my home state, and opened for Randy Houser. And like the energy in there, there's something about being in a theater and you can hear like a pin drop and you can hear them talking to you. Like, so that's what Wisconsin people do. They like talk to you when you're on stage and they shout things. And someone was like, it's currently snowing. And I was like, this just in, like without skipping a beat. And we were just joking around with each other, and they were so into it and they were so into the music. And it was really fun. It was really special. And so I think theaters have just been really special.
Right. So Kirsty, the album is out. So what's the plan for the album?
The plan is to keep selling physical copies, to keep encouraging people to go listen to it live. So anyone tuning in right now, I would love for you to check it out on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen to music. So appreciate it. And just be celebrating this record. I'm on tour right now. And I have a lot of tour dates coming up now that it's summertime. And so I'm really excited about doing a lot of those shows and just bringing the hats. We have hats that say, yes, you can. We have new shirts, bird shirts, and just be celebrating this record. And then I'm also in the studio right now and really excited about working on new stuff. I'm always writing. And so I got that kind of brewing in between when I'm out on the road.
Right. So if anybody want to go out, check out your music, what's the best place to go?
If you go to Instagram, there's a Linktree link, or kirstycrass.com that has everything. The Linktree link has literally anything you can think of, to my picture on the Breedlove website, because I'm sponsored by Breedlove. So, and that's Breedlove Acoustic Guitars. And so that's literally all the goodies there. You can see the music videos and all that stuff. I would love to connect.
Right. Lastly, because I want to ask you, like, you know, when we think about country music, we always think it's something American, right? It's like very unique to America. But I think I saw an interview of you, from an interviewer in India. I think she was like from India. And yeah, she was like interviewing you. So that really blew my mind. Like, you never expect that, right? That somebody in India is interested of country music, right? So how was that?
Right.
That I think I spoke to that person on Clubhouse as well. So how was that experience? Like talking to someone like very far away?
Oh, that was so cool. And she reached out. It's the Indian Bucharette. And I was like, oh yes, let's do something. And she's like out there creating this platform and really shining light on country music in India. And I love that. And so I jumped on board, and she's so sweet, and she has been nothing but supportive and loves country music. And so I am appreciative to be able to get on that platform and have us spread the word about country music and create a community over there, kind of how you're doing here at the Philippines. It's so cool. So I'm just appreciative to be able to be a part of it. But it was like, you know, even when I first started talking to people in the UK, it was hard for me to understand. Like UK specifically, their accents were hard for me. They like, especially in certain, like, there's Paul from the Live Country Sessions, and he had like quite an accent. And I was like, can you slow it down a little bit? Like, I'm trying to, I want to make sure I answer your questions. Right. But I feel like now I've gotten more and more used to their specific accent, because I talk to them all the time. I'm always on WhatsApp. And so I really have made a lot of friends that don't live near me. And so that's been really fun.
Right. So Kirsty, what's your message to the viewers of this video and listeners of this podcast?
Oh, I love that. I love that. So my main literally MO and message of life is you have to do what you got to do to be happy in this life. So if that means you want to start a podcast, if that means you want to put an album together that says, yes, you can, and brings positivity, like do that. If you want to open up a flower shop, do it. What are you waiting for? We only have so much time on this earth. And so just listen to your heart, listen to your gut, and do what makes you happy.
Right. Anybody you want to shout out to?
I want to give a shout out to my mom actually today, because she has been nothing but a help in this last 6 months, has done a lot of admin stuff, has helped with keeping track of what I'm getting paid at shows, and I send her all that information, and then she puts it in spreadsheets and things like that. And that's really helped me to be able to get away from the computer a little more and be able to do as many shows as I do and write. So I'm appreciative of all of her hard work. Love you, Mom.
So Kirsty, thanks for joining the podcast. I really enjoy talking to you, and it's great to connect with you, and all the best with your new album and future music. And when you have new music news, come and talk to us again.
Oh, I would love it. I appreciate this so much. I loved all the questions. It's super fun. And I'm so glad I finally got to sit down and meet you and have a chat like this. I loved it.
Right. So thanks for joining, Kirsty. Have a great day ahead.
Yes. Check out Yes You Can.
Thank you.